Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 46, and I'll read verse 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 22nd, 2021. And thank you, Jason, for bringing up this verse as we talked before this program about different scriptures. And I think I've said this all week long because we have so many new listeners. It's the first time we've had a full week now of broadcasting Mark and Friends on all 19 of our stations. So I've been very intentional in helping paint the picture of this radio ministry. And we had our board chair, Pastor Juan Laredo, on Tuesday, and they got to get to know Marianne Simpkins, our editor-in-chief, and sometimes co-hosts on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then yesterday, Tim Nelson, our operations manager from Springfield, he got to share. And then today, I get to introduce you to maybe many new listeners that are unfamiliar with Mark and Friends and your role with this radio ministry these past 10-plus years, assisting on Fridays. At one point, it was Wednesday and Fridays. Sometimes it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday if we had a special interview or a topic or something we were talking about. I was just kidding with some listeners the other day that, yeah, Pastor Jason and I walked through the book of James for a few weeks, and I thought, a few weeks? Actually, it was about a year and a half, because you love teaching God's Word, you love dividing it, you love thinking about it. You've shared many times that even when you preach on Sunday, and you're the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, just a few minutes away from my home studio here, but you've said many times as you prepare and study and pray up your message, as you get to deliver it, how the Holy Spirit brings up new concepts or thoughts where you even find yourself either being convicted or taught as you're teaching and proclaiming God's Word, and how it's living and it's active. And that's one of the aspects I've loved about how God raised you up for this radio ministry, is you love His Word, you love studying it, you love teaching it. It is an area or a skill set that you have, and that you've given it back to the Lord, and you've allowed Him to utilize your gifts for our radio listeners. So I think it's been 10-plus years that you've been a part of Mark and Friends. And so as I was saying today, I said, Pastor Jason, I had a great men's group gathering yesterday where we talked and shared and we pray for each other. And because these are some high-capacity leaders and people that I really respect, they poured in a lot of different things into me, even things that are helpful in the business realm or the ministry, or you need to think through this, or these are the actions I've taken. So these are some very, very dear friends. But I was telling you about the fact that we meet every Thursday and we love talking and sharing. And it reminded me of something that you do and have done for many years. And maybe it was something that even Bill Allison, someone who mentored you, also shared. But it's really meeting and having some hospitality with people. So maybe it's meeting them at a restaurant and breaking bread and talking and sharing, or having them over, you and Tasha, to your home where you have a meal together. And you've always talked about the importance of getting to know people in a setting where you can break bread. And it seems like God and Jesus accomplished many things over meals. And so I know that's a trait that you've carried on these many, many years. And I was just reminded with the guys yesterday, one of the things that we get together and talk and share, and usually it's around a table, the importance of meeting. And so Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, I'll read it again because I think maybe you can comment or flesh out a few other truths or points of application for us. But every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved.
Yeah, what a great verse, right?
Yeah.
It really is. And this is what's amazing, is this comes after the first sermon we ever get to hear from Peter. And so all the pastors who are listening right now love that, right? Because Peter preaches the first sermon and thousands of people come to faith like right in that moment. It's an amazing moment. Never have preached a sermon before, never shared the word of God publicly before that we know of. In fact, when we do hear Peter repeatedly throughout the text of the Bible, Peter's being rebuked by Jesus for doing all kinds of crazy things, you know, and stepping out of the boat and beginning to see the wind and the waves and sinking into the water, walking along the beach and saying, yeah, yeah, Jesus, but what about that guy? And Jesus says, no, listen, what's that to you? You follow me. And here Peter gets up and he preaches the first sermon of the early church. When he does that, thousands of people come, it says in verse 41, and so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. You go from nothing to mega church in one day on a guy who's never preached a sermon before. This is pretty magnanimous. And so right away, you know, if we had that kind of growth in today's culture, we would say, okay, now what kind of programs are we going to have? Let's get an off-the-hook children's ministry going. We got to get senior ministry going. We got to get young adult ministry going. We got to get, you know, youth group. I mean, let's start rolling this thing out, man. Filling up the buffet line. And that's not what the early church does. In fact, what we read about is the verse you read, it is the next step in that. So then what did they do? They have 3,000 people who came to faith. They were baptized and they were added to the numbers of the roll of those who love and follow and know Jesus Christ. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And so what I love is that it says this, and they devoted themselves. So right away, we get this kind of sharp point that shows us exactly what direction they took this. Because 3,000 people come to faith, you've got a monstrous movement. And the immediate thing for you to want to do is you want to go big. You want to go big. And instead, these disciples, because they had experienced the ministry of Jesus, which is always, now it's interesting, because people would say, well, Jesus had lots of followers, and the Church of Jesus Christ is meant to grow and meant to spread. But if you actually study the life of Jesus, Jesus intentionally kept the ministry, the deep ministry that he did, small. With his disciples, it was him and his disciples, and then he would take a few guys up on the hill of transfiguration with him and go even deeper with them. But Jesus was intentionally keeping it small. Now, why was Jesus doing that? Because Jesus wanted to have deep relationship, deep communion with these people. And he knew that the bigger you try and do this, the harder that is to do. And so right away out of the gate in verse 42, Acts chapter 2, we get they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they devoted themselves. This is what they gave themselves over to. This is what they decided was of the utmost importance when they were getting together. The first thing, the apostles' teaching. Now, what does that mean, the apostles' teaching? Well, the word in Greek is didache, and that's interesting because there actually is a book called the Didache, which is the compiled teachings of the apostles. And really what it is I say that the Didache is like the greatest hits of the Sermon on the Mount. And so what's really fascinating is, you know, sort of like you go to the record store and you go, man, you know, I've never heard the Beatles. I've never really bought any records by the Beatles, but I hear they're a great band. So, you know, what was the first record I should buy? And somebody generally will say, you know, why don't you try with the greatest hits first? Because this is going to be the best of all the albums that they have. This is going to be the compilation of what is most important in their career that spans that. We're talking in a very small way about something that is very huge and important, which is the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the Didache is that kind of greatest hits. It's a Sermon on the Mount kind of condensed, and what they would live out every day. What is fascinating is that when you read the Didache, you can get a thick version of it, and that thick version of it comes with a lot of commentary and a lot of, you know, this is what this means and this is why this matters. But if you were to actually have a copy of the Didache in its purest form, as they did back then, it was a very small book and it was a very simple book. Why was it small and why was it simple? Because I'm of the mind right now, Mark, that the simpler we make things, the greater the capacity for success is. So when I make things simple, the more likely people are to do it. And that's how Jesus handled prayer, right? When the disciples came to Jesus after witnessing his deep life of prayer over and over again, and they came and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, okay, totally. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. That prayer is shorter than most of the prayers that the saints pray today when you go to a prayer meeting. And yet, that your ability to pray increases because of its simplicity. You walk by somebody who's struggling. Lord, give them daily bread today. You walk by somebody who you know has been battling temptation. Lord, lead them not into temptation. Deliver them from that evil. You can very simply walk through and pray that. So your capacity for success increases because of the simplicity. And so the apostles had this book, the Didache, which was very simply put, the Sermon on the Mount, and they made it simple so that they could be successful at doing it. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the basic tenets of what it meant to follow Jesus Christ, what it meant to be his disciple and to be his apostle. And then another layer upon that was what they would wrestle the Word of God. The Word of God mattered to them. They would actually seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, when it says then they devoted themselves, I think that that means first priority. The first measure in their life was going to the Word of God, going to God and asking God what he thought about things, not simply going, you know, I got an idea, and everybody going, man, that's a great idea. Instead, going, I got a good idea. Let's see if it's a God idea. Let's measure it up against the Word of God and see if God is in this. Let's actually, instead of running ahead, let's pull the reins back, stop, and let's pray and ask God if he really wants us to do this. Because there's a lot of good things. I mean, we could fill our day full of good things to do, but the truly great things that glorify God, the truly great things that change the world for the kingdom of God, those things, they need to be cooked in prayer. They need to spend time in prayer, seeing if God's really in that. That's what God would really have us do. And then not only if he would have us do it, but then how he would have us do it. Because my way is not generally always God's way. My way is sometimes a little impetuous. My way is sometimes a little quicker than it is. My way sometimes is peppered with, I'm really busy, leave me alone right now. Instead of doing things God's way, with gentleness and with kindness, with patience, all those kinds of things that God says in his word, if we're really honest, probably struggle with. And this is what the early church devoted themselves to. In light of 3,000 people coming to faith, this is what they devoted themselves to, the apostles' teaching. And then what? To the fellowship. So they said, listen, we devote ourselves to the basic tenets of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. We devote ourselves to the Word of God. Well, what's the next thing we should devote ourselves to? Planting a church? No. Preaching? No. Because if you go to the Word of God and you go to what defines the church and the Word of God, it's not a building, it's not a place, it's not even the preaching of the Word as we know preaching to be. It is the proclamation of the Word. But that happens in all different kinds of settings. That happens along the way. And so these guys, having devoted themselves to the Word of God, what do they then do with that? They say, we got to get together and talk about it. We got to get together and hold ourselves accountable to it. We got to get together and actually live it out in community, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't live out the Word of God as the living embodiment of the Word of God. He didn't live that out in a context of like just being alone or just being in the church. In fact, Jesus spent far more time teaching outside the synagogue than in the synagogue. And when he did go in the synagogue to teach and unrolled the scroll and quoted Isaiah, it didn't go too good.
Yeah.
People were like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? And so that is why, as you know, this is kind of maybe a long introduction to what you started with in the beginning, but this is why I think it's so important to get together with people and to break bread and to spend time with people and not just to do it in church. See, this is the problem is that when I say church to somebody who doesn't understand what church is, and I don't mean understand what church is like the building and the time of the week, but understand what church is on a deeply theological and experiential level. They think it's a building. They think it's a time of the week. Go to church. Be a part of the church, meaning that the only way I get to do that is if I'm a member of a church, my name is written down somewhere, I attend that church on a regular basis, I go to that building. But that's not how the Bible understands church. In fact, church in the Bible is the word called ecclesia, which means assembly. Assembly of different sizes and shapes who have been called out by God, who have been redeemed and saved by God, and then gathered together to wrestle what it means to be the people of God. In fact, I love this verse. This is one of the verses that I write down. I got a little notebook I carry around with me, and I wrote this verse down in the beginning of my notebook, Ephesians 3:10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And so the church, those who have been called out, the called out assembly, those who gather together in God's name, in whatever context that might look like, what are we to do? We're to seek the manifold wisdom of God. So we do that in his word. So any gathering of Christians that spends more time talking about politics than it does about the Word of God is a problem. Any that gets together to gossip more than they do to wrestle the Word of God is a problem. Now, when I say wrestle the Word of God, I don't mean Bible study. I love to get together with people and just ask them how they're doing and then begin to say, man, how's that working for you? What do you think God would want you to do in that situation? How do you think the Spirit might lead you if you might open up one of the two ears that the Bible says you have and begin to listen to what the Spirit is saying? How might your life be different and might change for that? We have to get better instead of preaching at people. We have to get better at talking to people. And when we talk to people, listening with one of our ears to them and then listening to with our other ear to what the Holy Spirit is saying. We've got to get better at that. And we've got to have these times and these moments where we say, because listen, if the whole of the Christian life is simply gathering together at a church in a building so we can hear a sermon, so we can sing, and I'm not saying that's bad. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe that that gathering together confounds the world, and that is a beautiful thing. But if that's the only thing we're doing, then we're selling short the Christian life that Jesus has called us to live. In the same way, if we're only gathering together in small groups to do Bible studies, I think we're selling ourselves short, because Bible studies have a certain trajectory that is preset before we ever get there. We get in a room and we go, okay, now we're studying the book of Esther. Let's begin with question one, question two, question three, question four. When I sit down at the coffee shop with somebody, I usually say to them, hey, you know what? Tell me what your high is for this week and tell me what your low is for this week. And somebody begins to tell me a moment in this week where they're celebrating what God has done and what God is doing in their life. And then they begin to tell me something that they're struggling with. Now, why do I ask that question? Because now I know a way I can praise God on their behalf, and I know a way I can pray for them. And then I can also begin to ask them, so in that low point, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How is following Jesus in that moment? You know, we have such a great theology of praise, but sometimes I think we have a really crappy theology of suffering. And suffering together. And asking that question, tell me one of your lows, is sometimes a scary thing to ask, because when we ask that, we're actually asking for an invitation into something that's been really hard and difficult in somebody's life. And yet, Jesus, when I read the Bible, he never skirted those things. Jesus always engaged in the most difficult parts of people's lives, because that's exactly where they need him. And so we shouldn't run from that. We should be a part of that. So I'm passionate about it. In fact, I love it. You know, our mutual friend, Darwin Boston, he sees me all the time at Yo-Yo's Coffee Shop in Mahomet, because I love to go to the coffee shop. One of the things that I figured out in the last year and a half, and I didn't get it right for the first 8 years of my ministry. First 8 years of my ministry, I would go to the church. I would go in my office, and I'd be like, this is my office. Yeah. And I'd sit down, and I'd try and do work, and I'd struggle, and I'd struggle, and I'd struggle. And then I'd go to a coffee shop, and I'd accomplish all kinds of things. And one of the epiphanies I had was that I get more work done when I'm around people because I like being around people. Now, I put some headphones on. I listen to music, but I like the hustle and bustle around me. I like sharing in a sideways smile with somebody or looking at somebody who's kind of trying to wrestle their kids and go, I know how that is. I like being where life is, and I like being where I can take off that headphones and set that work aside and say, hey, how are you doing? I've seen you here a few times. How are you doing? What's your name? You know, and getting a chance to talk and to rub shoulders and to have our lives rub off on one another. You know, it says in John that Jesus went to the Judean countryside and he spent time with his disciples. He baptized and spent time with them. The word there is diatribo, which means to rub off. It means that Jesus went out to the Judean countryside with his disciples, and he rubbed off on them. And so if I'm just spending time alone in the office, or we're just at church on Sunday morning sitting next to each other, how are we rubbing off on one another? We need to spend time rubbing off on one another, because if you're spending time with Jesus, if your life is cooked in Jesus, I mean, it's just marinating in who Jesus is. When you go and you begin to rub off on other people and get next to other people and rub shoulders with them, your life in Christ begins to rub off on them.
Right.
And it's one of the best apologetics we have. It's one of the best evangelistic methods that we could have. My life in Christ, your life in Christ, Mark, is the best argument you have for God. Why wouldn't we take that to the nations? And when I say take it to the nations, take it to your local coffee shop, to your local grocery store. Take it to all the places that you like to go. You know what I found, Mark? This is the craziest thing ever. is that my evangelism is actually way better. And when I say evangelism, I mean my life in Christ rubbing off on other people is actually way better when I'm places that I like being.
Hmm.
So why not go to places you like being and do it?
Right, right.
Why not go to the coffee shops? Why not go to the, you know, wherever it is you like going? Man, if you like comic books, when you go to the comic book shop, man, rubbing that life off on those people in there. You like music, when you go to Guitar Center or the music store, rub that stuff off. You like Best Buy because you like electronic, rub that life off in there. But wherever you go, the Apostle Paul would say, leave the fragrance of Christ. And why not do that in places that you're excited to be?
Mm-hmm.
Not places you're like begrudgingly got to go and you're like, oh, well, you know, I mean, I don't want to be here, but I want to be obedient to Jesus. No, no, why not go and be like, man, I love being here. They got good coffee. I love this place so much. They got snacks and it's filled with people who I want to rub shoulders with.
Yeah, yeah.
And so why wouldn't we do that?
You know, it's funny. I wrote down two things as you were speaking and, you know, some of the things that I feel like the Lord was telling me through you. I put down that fragrance of Christ because that's what we're to be about. As a disciple of Jesus, we should carry with us that fragrance of Christ, being that ambassador of God. But wherever we go, we bring Christ with us because he lives and abides in us, those of us that follow him. And then that other concept you've talked about before, that Great Commission, that as you go, so it's wherever we're going, whether it is the grocery store or Yo-Yo's in Muhammad or the bowling alley or the racquetball court or just with those we interact with at work, wherever we go, as we go, bring about that fragrance of Christ, pointing to God, bringing healing and hope and encouragement. And hopefully as we're fortified, as we study God's word, as we pray up our day, as we ask God for those divine appointments, then we just look forward to how he's going to orchestrate or order our steps for that day.
And then just quickly, what happens next? So they devote themselves to the word of God. They take the word of God into fellowship. In fellowship, they find themselves breaking bread, eating, communing together. And then what do? The last thing is praying. So when you get together with people, don't let the word of God slide out of the picture. Don't let the opportunity to eat together and to share a good cup of coffee slide out of the picture. And don't let prayer get marginalized when you gather together.
Amen and amen. Well, that'll preach, and we hope everyone will be in their church this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.